what does that bring to mind? Well, looking at the surface, when you pray a petition like that, what does it bring to mind? Forgive me as I forgive. I'm in trouble. Oop! You see, we're praying against ourselves in the prayer. I mean, talk about a gracious gift. I can actually pray for forgiveness in that context, you see, even though I am not giving it out. Like, you got to do theology on this stuff. It's not just readily apparent. You know, a lot of ways to think about it.
Sins are really the evidence that we're not perfect.
Of course, that's all it is. Yeah.
Yeah. In sin.
Well, and I think the real good thing about being able to ask for forgiveness of sins too is that everything is included.
Well, what
you couldn't make a list long enough. Yeah, you couldn't make a list so long of sins that you'd finally get one. Well, part of it is just rabbinical hyperbole. I mean, it's the way the language that was chosen.
Well,
we're not literalists here, you know. We're not married to the text as far as. This is not a biblical fundamentalists here, as far as the language goes. It's the doctrine of justification that defines the words. You see, we don't need to get off on the cul-de-sac of worrying too much about whether it's singular or plural. The sake of making the distinction is not that distinction is important, not because one is important and one isn't. It's because theologically, for Lutherans, what is addressed in baptism, for example, is sin. The whole condition of sin is buried with Christ. And then when I confess my sins, therefore, what am I confessing? Like you said. I'm acknowledging that the symptoms of the sickness are still with me. I'm still showing the evidence of it. I would think that your conservative evangelical friends who we're talking about, you're referring to earlier, I would think that properly presented, this could be a very liberating message to those people. You see? Because they're all about keeping track of their sins. Oh, no, because where are we bent by nature? The law.
Sort of like living with metastatic cancer.
Yeah. Keep treating it. Yeah, I've been asked occasionally, Pastor, why do we have to have the confession of sins every Sunday morning? And one of my answers is, well, the fact that you ask the question that way is the answer. Because you think of it that way. Because you think of it that way, we've got to have it every Sunday morning. You see, because the question implies that, well, we're sort of beyond that, or it's peripheral, you see, it's not. You see, and that implies an idea of the Christian life that we're sort of on this ascendancy. You see, we're going from one step to another. We've left that behind us now. That's the basics. Yeah.
Did you know the Missouri Lutheran Church at one time, I don't know if they do anymore, but you used to have to confess your sins before you could take communion. Of course, the Catholic Church, I think you're still supposed to, but I don't know how many people do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Specific sins.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and that's another reason to always have the confession before the sacrament, which we do. You know, always have the opportunity to make confession. Yeah, we don't. The reason we don't emphasize individual confession, the reason I think it fell out of practice in the Lutheran Church, although Luther was a fan of it, because obviously he, at the time he was a medieval Catholic and it was still something that people were doing on a regular basis, so he preserved the practice for that reason. But the reason it fell out of usage was because the focus was not in Lutheran Church on sins, but on sin. So over time, that's naturally where things would go, you see. And that's why there cannot be any blinking on this. You know, we just have to hold the line constantly on how important it is to be steadfast in this message. That nothing, as Brent pointed out, there's nothing good in us that saves us, and nothing bad in us that condemns us. Well, the only person left standing in that equation is Christ. See. And that really attacks the old Adam and Eve in us. That kind of a statement really assaults us where we really live. And we find out when you hear something like that, you can feel the degree to which you are bound to yourself, to your own presumptions and your own works. It's visceral. You know, it almost makes you mad. Some people actually get angry when they hear that kind of talk. You see, well, then what am I doing this for? You see? Well, and the answer is, yeah, good question. Well, since it's not necessary, what are you doing it for? Well, but I was brought up and taught, well, that's your problem. So you had lousy preachers and, you know, people didn't understand the gospel. That's not my fault. But now you are hearing it. So people will appreciate this, Marge, when they get far enough down the road where they just are so, and that's usually what happens, you know. The people that hear the gospel, in my experience, are usually the ones who have become so burdened and worn out by trying to deal with their sins. I mean, they're serious about being Christian, they understand it. They really want to pursue that life, but they just never get anywhere. They get one step forward, and they go backward two steps, and they climb up the ladder a certain number of rungs, and then they fall down to the bottom, and they have to start over again. Those are the people that often can really hear. And after all, who were the people that were attracted to Jesus and his ministry? It's the scum. The people that have been written off by the religious people. You know, you are never going to amount to anything. In fact, you are not even worth our time and effort.
Ungodly
people. Well, Christ died for the ungodly. So unless you're willing to consider yourself ungodly, you probably don't belong here. And that's why repentance, you see, is that first step when faith comes alive in the person's heart. The first thing that you're aware of is the need to repent. And that need to repent, that awareness of the need to repent is the awareness that you are ungodly. And then you realize, but Christ died for the ungodly.